Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David For on Monday the 13th of October, recording at 10:12 p.m. That's still British summer time. Now, it's good to be back, particularly after such a traumatic week as last week in the stock market. But I have some good cheer, I think, today for many of us. And first, though, I'll apologize for the nasal tones and scratchy voice. International travel doesn't appear to agree with me all that much, and I've got another head cold, but otherwise fine. Now, today's action. Well, let's start with last week's action. Exceptionally climactic, as Owen pointed out in the Friday Big Picture audio. One of the most dramatically oversold conditions that one has ever seen. You really do have to thumb through the record books to see a more dramatic oversold condition. Now, that produced was followed by some pretty dramatic gains in here today. They started in Asia, and we had, I think, 10% up on the Hang Seng Index and 13% higher on the HSCEI. That's the other Chinese index out of Hong Kong. European markets, gains of 10 to 11% were the norm. And Wall Street, crucially, the Wall Street leash closing out with gains of over 11% for the three main indices quoted. That's the Dow, the S&P 500 index, and the NASDAQ composite index. And we had a gain of over 14% for Brazil, 11% for Mexico. Canada was closed. It'll join the fund tomorrow. Now, elsewhere we've seen downward dynamic by the U.S. dollar. On the dollar index, it's currently down 1.4 points to 81.59. We've seen rebounds in a number of the currencies, and we've got the yen up to 135. I beg your pardon, the euro up to 135.93. Dollars pushed back up to 102 against the yen. The yen had previously been the strongest currency of all, as you know. Gold has fallen here despite the dollar's decline. Gold bullion's currently at 833, and the futures down $24. That's the December contract at 835. Crude oil up $4 to 81.84. Natural gas up 172. The agricultural commodities were a bit firmer, as well as were most industrial metals. I'll just check that. It might have been all industrial metals. And yes, it was. Well, except for that new steel contract. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as I said at the beginning, record climactic activity. And this day represents one of those sort of all change events that subscribers who have attended the chart seminar will be aware of. And by an all change day, I mean a dramatic change in sentiment that gets everyone sitting up, paying close attention, and it leads to a simultaneous reversal of almost all prevailing trends. In other words, everything that was going up, the US dollar, treasury bond, futures, the Japanese yen, suddenly come off. And everything that was going down, commodities and especially stock markets, suddenly go up. And that's the environment in which we find ourselves. Now, the background for this is the not only concerted but coordinated central bank intervention. Now, some people will say, cynics will say, well, come on, we've seen central bank activity before and it hasn't really done anything. But I think that would miss the point because what we're seeing here, what we have seen recently, is first a belated effort by central banks to catch up with the problem. This met with little success, but they keep throwing things at it. More and more schemes, more and more cross-border cooperation taking place among central banks. And really, it's a situation where they're going to do everything in their possible, in their power, everything possible from their standpoint to prevent stock markets from sliding into the long deflationary abyss that we saw post 1929, that we saw with Japan post 1990. And certainly, well, my view is that once we got that, or until we got that really coordinated central bank action, that they wouldn't have much success. It's one of the things that I've mentioned over the last month or more that we needed to see to see a significant rebound in global stock markets. Well, we've got it. And I think they've finally realized that it's not enough just to be playing catch up and putting small bandages over the wounds. What they had to do was get well ahead of the curve of events with a huge infusion of capital. Well, they've done that. We've seen the technical action in here. We know that confidence, or the lack of confidence, your total lack of confidence, has been a big factor behind these market trends. We know that there are substantial short positions out there. We know also that investors have very, very substantial cash reserves. We also know that we're entering a very favorable period seasonally. So Owen and I are happy to make the call that this action indicates that we saw important lows last Friday. And really, markets would have to close beneath last Friday's lows. I'll repeat that. Stock market indices would have to close beneath last Friday's lows to prevent what should be a very good technical seasonal rally and the mean reversion move that I've long talked about. Now, could it be more than that? Well, yes, it could, given that we've had over a year in terms of bear market decline for many stock market indices, given the levels reached, given the significance of the moves that have taken place on the, not only on the part of central banks, but in the markets here today. Now, will we see more volatility? Well, you bet. Does this mean that the credit crisis is over? Not at all. Look at the TED spread. And there are additional write-down problems out there, no doubt. But at some point, all this does become discounted sufficiently to spring that very important technical rally. And remember, stock markets have been under more or less steady selling pressure since late May, many of them, and that ended with the climactic free fall that we saw last week. Now, again, where markets had been stretched on the upside, and I'm talking about the dollar, I'm talking about the yen, and I'm talking about those treasury bond futures, I would assume that they have seen at least near-term peaks and closes above the recent near-term peaks, and some of those were, many of those were reached last week, and some of them on Friday, although U.S. Treasuries were starting to weaken before then, would have to occur closes above those recent highs would have to occur to reaffirm those upward trends for the dollars and treasury for the dollar and yen and treasury bond futures. Now, that's the overall background here. What else to mention? I've talked in terms of medium-term rallies for stock markets, reversions to the mean. Which stock markets ought to do best in that move? Well, first place, if Wall Street doesn't perform, I don't think any of them will do very well. But Wall Street showed a good move here today, as we already know, from a deeply oversold position. So as long as Wall Street remains reasonably steady, I would expect some other markets to do even better. And some of those will include Asian stock markets. Interestingly, China did not break its September low this month, and it has, or was it a very early October low? I'm not sure, but I'll be looking at that chart and posting it a little later on. But it also showed, in other words, it didn't hit a new low last week, that's for sure. And it saw an upside key day reversal in here today. That's the China mainland indices, the Shanghai composite and the Shanghai A shares. So that's very interesting, I think. Now, how far will this market move go? Well, I've already said I'm looking for a pretty good technical rally. But for that to take place, I want to emphasize again, we do need to see that TED spread narrow. If that TED spread doesn't narrow, then and if let alone if that increases, and it's over 400 basis points right now, if that were to increase, that would suggest that we would see those lows, those Friday lows, retested, and get markets thrashing around in terms of in continued volatility. Now, excuse me. So, we want to watch that. Also, on more of a medium-term basis, we know that a huge amount of liquidity has been thrown into the system, and justifiably so. How long central banks keep that money in the system will probably depend on events. And the immediate risk, as I've mentioned before, is the disinflationary, deflationary pressures and the slumping global economy. That's what central banks and treasuries are now addressing. The danger signs going forward would be if we see some of the inflationary signs start to pick up. Evidence of inflation picking up could be in the form of gold over $1,000. It could be in the form of crude oil over $110. And holding that type of, it could be in the form of a considerable spike upwards in long-dated government bond yields. Now, I'm not forecasting those events in the short term, although I am forecasting somewhat steadier action in crude oil and somewhat weaker action in long-dated treasury bond prices. And gold, well, it's interesting. The influences on gold can vary. I had mentioned last Monday and also the week before I went away to the Contrary Opinion Forum, that I just lost the train of my thought here. Sorry, we had a lot of jet lag recently getting back late yesterday, including a 10-hour holdover in Kennedy. Can't remember what that point was, and I can't stop the audio without a long, awkward pause. So, gold, yes. I had said that my least favorite reason for owning gold was the fear factor, because fear, the Armageddon fear, was difficult to sustain beyond the short term. So really, gold was functioning as a dollar proxy during the dollar's rally. Now, overall, I remain favorable towards gold on a medium to longer term basis, but I've said I didn't like paying up for it in this technical environment, and also it has not had support of other precious metals recently, and that I really like gold on its forays beneath the $800 level, and in the volatility that we have been seeing, it's not impossible that we could see that again. I would expect plenty of volatility overall. Now, I mentioned those three factors: spike in upwards in treasury bond yield, spike upwards in crude oil prices, spike upwards in gold. Those would certainly be warning signs in terms of inflation. I don't expect any of those in the near term, although I do expect some further retracement of recent gains in those instruments. I was mentioning those three factors more as a intermediate to longer term inflationary watch. The big story, the really big story here right now, is that stock markets appear to have reached their medium term lows. And glad to have that. Well, as I said at the beginning, I'm glad to be back. And no doubt we're going to have plenty more of excitement in markets over the coming days and weeks. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.